good to be here this morning.
Amen. The Lord is very good.
Amen.
He is amazing. He's an excellent God. Turn, if you will, this morning to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Let's ask the Lord to bless us this morning. Lord Jesus, we need you. We don't come here with any pretense. We don't come here with anything to offer but just our praise and our worship. And Lord, we want you here this morning. If you are not here in this building, then what we do is useless. What we do is for nothing, Lord. But we trust and expect you to move and to bless and to be with us this morning, Lord. We ask that your word would prevail and your word would just prick our hearts, Lord, and just be merciful, Lord. Be merciful to us like you've been merciful in the past, Lord. We love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. When I was in seventh grade was a turning point in my life. Seventh grade was the year that I made the basketball team. And the reason why this was a big deal was because this is when I became popular. Or I don't know if I actually became popular, but I sure felt I all of a sudden was an athlete, and so all of a sudden I started feeling popular. And the way at least our middle school was is there's an auditorium, and the cafeteria is the auditorium, and so three rows across from the stage, three rows down on the right side was where all the popular kids sat. And I was playing basketball, now that I started playing basketball, I was playing basketball with all these popular kids, right? So I thought I could make it over to this group. So there's me, and I was sitting with maybe not so popular kids before. I made this decision that I was gonna go sit with these guys and be popular. And, you know, they never actually told me I couldn't sit there or anything like that. I don't know if they actually liked me. I didn't get any girlfriends from it. I wasn't invited to any parties, but I sure felt popular. And those type of social classes exist all over the place. And those same social classes existed in Jesus' day. There were probably many social classes that I wouldn't have time to explain them all to you. But there was a few of them. There were these Jews, and this is what happens in Jesus' day. There were these Jews, and they were blood-born Jews. They were from Jewish descent. And they not only had this stigma about them, but they trusted in the law, the Old Testament. You read the Old Testament. These Jews believed in the Old Testament, and they stuck to it. They were hard-nosed about sticking to this law. And the Bible calls them, in this day and age, they were called Pharisees. There was another sect, a sect of them called the Sadducees, which essentially had the same type of mentality. And these guys were the cool kids, right? These guys were the kids three rows down who all sat together, but it was more than just being popular for them. They actually looked down on everyone else. They thought that they were good and they were righteous and they were holy, and all those other people were just a bunch of wicked sinners. That's what these people thought. Now, there was another social class, and they were called Samaritans. And the Samaritans, if you read the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when Jesus talks to her, she goes, "Why are you talking to me? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." These Samaritans were like half Jews. They had a Gentile wife or a Gentile mom or a Gentile dad and a Jewish mom or dad. So they're like half breeds. And the Jews didn't want anything to do with them because they weren't pure and holy. And then you have these other people, and they were probably mostly Gentiles, and they were just sinners. They were just wicked. And that is the people you find here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples," remember these Pharisees, right? These stuck-up, snot-nosed, "Well, I'm better than everyone else." "They said unto his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners?" Good question. Verse 12, "And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, these Pharisees, they saw Jesus, and Jesus was by blood a full-natured Jew. You read his lineage, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3. He was full-blooded Jew. In fact, he came from the lineage of the kings. He was by all accounts a Jew, and he acted like it, right? He was a Pharisee. He was good. There, the Bible says there was no guile found in his mouth. He was perfect. He was a perfect person. And so these Pharisees see this Jesus, and not only was he keeping the law, but he was popular. He was healing people. And so these Pharisees were like, well, we'll include this Jesus in our inner circle. And so when they find Jesus eating with a bunch of publicans and sinners, prostitutes, thieves, people who everyone would reject, Jesus comes and accepts and wants to sit down and fellowship with them. These Pharisees get a little upset with Jesus. They say, why is this man eating with a bunch of sinners? But see, Jesus wasn't interested in social status. He wasn't interested in looking better than everyone else. He was interested in helping people. That's what he says here. He says, oh, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance.
Amen.
Do you know who Jesus came for? He came for sinners.
Amen.
You may have not seen that today. You may have not thought that this morning. Maybe you thought Jesus was not looking for sinners. Maybe you thought Jesus was just kind of looking, maybe he just didn't have a preference. Maybe Jesus was just kind of looking for just any old person who was willing to give him the time of day. Maybe you've had other people talk to you, and they tell you what their religion believes, and you have your beliefs and they have their beliefs, and you don't really think much of the difference, right? You say, well, this person has these beliefs and these differences, and I have these beliefs and these differences. And at the end of the day, we're all going to kind of end out the same. We're going to kind of all be the same. Maybe you've thought that. Maybe you've said, well, I can't really condemn another person for believing this way about God. But I like the way I believe God. And everyone's got, and this is what's going on in the world today. Everyone's got all their different beliefs. And you have a bunch of different people saying, well, God is just kind of looking for everyone, isn't he? Maybe that's what you think. Maybe you think today that all religions are equal. Maybe that's your mentality today. Maybe you look at the verses in the Bible that say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Or whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you just think, well, that just kind of means anyone who ever wants to, as long as you're kind of seeking the Lord, you come to church every once in a while, or you go to a mosque, or you go to whatever it is that you think is your place of worship, as long as you kind of do this thing, then that'll make you okay. But see, you're missing a point. God has a condition. He's not just looking for anybody. He's not. In fact, that's what he says right here. He's looking for a specific type of person. He's looking for sinners.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That's who Jesus is looking for. You might have thought Jesus was just looking for everybody. But he's not looking for just anybody. He's looking for sinners. Maybe you thought God was looking for intelligent people. Maybe that's what you thought this morning. Maybe you see people who can argue doctrines to the core. There are people that I could never, it doesn't matter if I had a better doc, I had the right doctrine, they had the wrong doctrine. It's kind of like if you get a good lawyer, right? It doesn't matter if you're guilty or innocent. As long as you have a good lawyer, you could probably get off, right? There are people that I can argue, that would just tear me to shreds in an argument. Maybe that's the kind of person that you think God is looking for. Maybe you think God is looking for someone who can put up a good argument or has a lot of knowledge. Knows a lot about scripture. Maybe you think God is looking for someone who knows the Bible, who has verses memorized, who can quote you all the books of the Bible, who can say them in order. Maybe you think you're at a serious disadvantage because there's a lot of other people out there who know a whole lot about the Bible, and you just kind of think, well, I don't know a whole lot. There's no hope for me. Is that what you think today? Did you think God came for smart people? Some people feel that way. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you came thinking, well, I can't really approach God until I start reading my Bible. And I'm not saying reading your Bible is wrong or bad. I think it's a great thing to do and you should get into it. But you might have come to that notion. You might have come to the conclusion that God is looking for intelligent people, people with knowledge, people with wisdom, people with, and I have news for you. He's looking for sinners. He's not looking for intelligent people. He's looking for sinners. The Bible makes this abundantly clear that Jesus goes to extreme lengths to make the gospel as simple as he possibly can. In 2 Corinthians, it says, just like the devil deceived Eve, don't let anyone deceive you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Because of the world and religion will try to make it as complex as they possibly can. And Jesus is saying, the gospel is simple. The gospel is easy. The gospel makes, he says in another place, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why do you think that is? Why do you think God used a stupid thing like me or some other guys who basically don't know what they're saying and stutter and mumble to get you the gospel? He could have done it in a variety of different ways, but he chooses the foolishness of preaching to save people. Why do you think that is? Because he's looking for sinners. He's not looking for intelligent people. Remember those apostles? They probably did this multiple times. They talked among themselves and they said that they were trying to figure out who's the greatest. Who's the greatest apostle? Who's the greatest Christ follower? Who's the greatest Christian? And Jesus, I think he did this multiple times because it was recorded multiple times and in different contexts. He gets a little child in the middle of them. He puts them in the middle. In one place it says he embraced this child and he tells these people, he says, except your faith be as this little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You might have thought my faith isn't very strong today. I don't know much about the Bible. Maybe I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And maybe I'm too far behind. That there's no hope for me. That I've got to somehow get some sort of knowledge for me to then approach God. And then he'll accept me. But you're missing the point about who God is looking for. He is looking for sinners. He's not looking for intelligent people. As is the case with me. You can tell he's not looking for intelligent people. He's looking for people who just have the faith of a child. That's all he's looking for. He is looking for sinners. You may have not known that. Maybe you thought this morning that God was looking for rebels. You know, Jesus in his time was a rebel. I mean, you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, chapters 5 through 7. He turns the world upside down with his doctrine. Things like the meek shall inherit the earth. These are teachings, this type of idea, this type of mindset that the people who are humble and base and giving and loving, that those people are going to be the good people. And all the people who try to get power and lord it over people, those are going to be like at the end. This is a new type of thinking. Jesus in his day, I mean, even in this situation right here, he should be with the Pharisees, right? And yet there he is talking to a bunch of prostitutes and publicans, a bunch of sinners. He had this, he was a rebel in his day, if you think about it. He was really a rebel in his day. Maybe you think that's you today. Maybe you think the only way I can get to God is for me to reject just kind of mainstream religion. Maybe that's what you think today. Maybe you think I have to find God my own way. There's a lot of people who think that way. Is that you today? Maybe you came today thinking, well, everyone else believes a certain way, but I want to be different. I want to be special. I want to be a rebel. I want to seek God in my own way, through my own manner, through my own spirit, if you will. And then when I get to heaven, God's going to say, well, you tried really, really, really hard to find a different way. And so I'll accept you. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you think God is looking for rebels. But what you don't realize is God already made a way. You see, you are going to try to find your own roundabout way to get to heaven. But there is only one way into heaven.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life.
Amen.
And no man comes unto the Father but by me. He already made a way. And you know what that means? That means you're going to have to believe what he said. And you're going to have to conform to what the Bible says. Oh, God forbid. You're going to have to take God at his word and say, I'm just going to be a Christian like every other person. And God's not going to reveal any special revelation to me, which, by the way, he hasn't revealed any special revelation to me. I'm only preaching what he said. I'm only preaching what's in his word. You're going to have to get to that place where you humble yourself and you say, well, I can't really. God already made a way. And any way that I choose that's different than God's way is not the right way. You see, you thought God was looking for rebels. You thought God was looking for people who were ingenious, were innovative, came to the conclusion about God in their own manner and in their own way. But you're missing the point about who God is looking for. He's looking for sinners. God is looking for sinners. He's not looking for intelligent people. He's not looking for rebels. He's looking for sinners. Maybe you think God is looking for righteous people. That's what these Pharisees thought. I mean, there it is, right? Matthew chapter 9. These Pharisees are coming to Jesus saying, why aren't you looking for me? All these religious people, they came to Jesus and they were like, he should be hanging out with us. He should be with us on the third row from the right in the auditorium. Right? He should be hanging out with all the cool people. Why is he in the back row with all the losers? Maybe you thought today that God was looking for righteous people. Maybe you look out at the world and you compare yourself with other people. And you come to the conclusion that there are a whole lot of people better than you. Maybe you have committed sin that has damaged yourself, damaged your family, damaged the people around you, damaged everyone you love. And you think, I'm just not as good as someone else. I'm just not as good as all those people who show up at church every Sunday. I'm just not as good as most of the people in the world. Maybe you think that today. Maybe you look out at the world and you think, who am I? And then not only do you look out at the world, but you look out at God and you see His holiness and His righteousness and His justness. And you say, how in the world could I ever compare myself to God? How in the world could I ever be righteous? How in the world would God ever accept me? You might think this morning there was no hope for you. That might be the idea that has been plaguing your mind for ages. I have gone too far. There's no turning back. I'm just too wicked. But who is God looking for? Look at what he says. I came not to call the righteous. He says it. I came not to call the righteous. Who is he looking for? Sinners. You might have thought, in fact, maybe you thought God was looking for righteous people. And you thought, well, I fit the mold. I do go to church every Sunday. There's a parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and this Pharisee is praying before God, and he says, I give tithes of all I possessed. That means he gave his money, by the way. I fast twice in the week. I bet most of you don't even fast through one meal. It's just not possible. This man was very, very, very religious. And maybe you think that way today. Maybe you think God is looking for me because I'm somehow better than most people. But God is not looking for you. In fact, if you think you are righteous of your own accord, if you think I am so good, I haven't done anything really that bad. I might have told a few lies here and there. I might have lusted a few times. I might have just once or twice, but I haven't done it anymore. Maybe you think God's going to accept me. But my question to you is, if that's what you think, if you think God, you are going to make it into God's grace, into heaven, on your own merit, then what in the world are you doing in church today? If you are good enough, why do you need God? Think about it. Why are you here? If you think you're good enough, why do you need God? You see, God is looking for sinners. He's not looking for righteous people. Because righteous people don't need salvation. They don't need forgiveness of sins because they're not sinners. But if you are willing to humble yourself, Maybe that's not you today. Maybe you realize, just like I've realized when I was 5 years old, I realized not righteous. There's no way in the world for me to get into heaven on my own merit, of my own accord, of anything that I have to offer. Maybe you've come to the conclusion this morning, I'm a sinner. And maybe you thought God was not looking for you. Well, I have news for you. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God is looking for sinners. That is who God is interested in. He's not interested in righteous people. He's interested in people who are willing to humble themselves before Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. Have mercy on me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I could never get into heaven on my own. But by Your grace, please just be merciful. You might be like that thief on the cross who had nothing to offer God. He was hanging on a cross. There was nothing He could give Him. And all He did was say, Lord, I deserve, He said it. He said, I deserve to be on this cross. He said it. I deserve it. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I deserve condemnation. I deserve all this stuff. But Lord, be merciful to me. And what did Jesus tell that man? He said, today, I know you're going to die. I know you're going to die. But when you die, that day, today, you will be with me in paradise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus has made it abundantly clear. And extremely evident throughout all of the Gospels. You read what Jesus did, what Jesus said. You will find out He is looking for sinners. He's not looking for pretense. He's not looking for people to put on a show. In fact, He has so many bad things to say about the Pharisees. He calls them whited sepulchers. He calls them hypocrites. He says, you try to make the outside clean, but your inside is full of dead men's bones. That's what He says about those religious people who think they're righteous. He's looking for people who are willing to get real with God.
Amen.
Who are willing to just stand up and say, you know what, God? I might have been trying to put on a show before, but now I come to you and I realize I'm
yes,
a sinner.
Amen.
If you can come to that conclusion, if you can come to that place, if you can just humble yourself in the hands of an almighty God and say, God, I'm a sinner.
Amen.
I have good news for you.
Amen.
He came for sinners.
Amen.
Jesus came to save sinners.
Amen.
Amazing. Why in the world, you might think, why in the world would God save a sinner like me? I've been wondering the same thing for 20 something years. I've been wondering it. I have no idea. There is nothing in my mind that can explain why God would be merciful to me. And yet everything I read in that Bible says that's exactly what He's looking for. He is looking for sinners. I'm going to ask the pianist to come play. I want to ask you a question. to real simple, right across the plate, question. Are you a sinner? That's the question I asked for you this morning. There's no pretense. There's nothing you can do that would appease God. You had to come to Him as a sinner. You cannot come to Him any other way. You cannot come to Him with your intelligence. You cannot come to Him with your own way, with your own method. You can't even come to Him with your own righteousness, which the Bible says is as filthy rags. You can't come to Him that way. But you know how you can come to Him? As a sinner. I am so thankful that God is looking for sinners. If God was not looking for sinners, there would be no hope for me. And you might come to the conclusion, hopefully you've come to the conclusion, that if God was not looking for sinners, then there would be no hope for you too. But you know what? There is hope for you. This morning, there is hope for you if you're a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you know what? God has nothing to do with you. God wants nothing to do with you. You're righteous. You're good. Go your own way. You can make it on your own. But if you're a sinner, God has a message for you. He's calling you to repentance. That's what he says. You thought all those other things, my knowledge of the Bible or some other things, or I need to get my act together. And maybe those things are the things that you thought was the barrier between you and God. The only thing that's hindering you and God right now is your sin. That's the only thing. That's the only barrier. And God is looking for sinners who are willing to come to Him and say, I want to remove that barrier of sin in my life. That's all God is asking for. That's why He says He called sinners to repentance. Are you a sinner today? I'm going to give you an opportunity. There's these chairs here. There's nothing special about these chairs. But if you are a sinner and you want forgiveness, now is the time to do it.
Yes, amen.
Now is the time to do it. I would urge you to take just a step of faith. I know it looks weird. I know people might be looking at you while you come down here and think, what is this person doing? What has he done? But let me tell you, if God is speaking to you, this isn't about people. This is about God. If God is dealing with you about something, then who really cares what people think?
Amen.
Who really cares? You, if you are a sinner here today and you do not know Jesus, why would you hold back? Why would you care what other people think?
Amen.
When all that matters is what God thinks. God is extending an incredible offer to you. He says, I'm looking for sinners.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll give you 5 minutes.
Amen.
You want to come down here and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Here's your chance.